since I'm going to be going into teaching and I'm going to be having students looking for instruments, what would you recommend having them look for in instruments that they're trying out?
They should get one they like.
That's number one.
There's several factors in selecting an instrument. First of all, you have to decide what budget you're going to allow. Second of all, you have to realize how are you going to use that instrument? What are you going to do? How serious are you? No use buying a very expensive instrument if you're really not going to use it that much. Then looking at all the varieties that are available and see, and if you have a chance, try them out. Years ago, there was one compensating euphonium available in the world. That was it. There was no choice. If you wanted a compensating euphonium, that was the only one you could find. Now I think there's probably around 12 or 14 different compensating euphoniums, professional euphoniums available. The next question is, do you really need a compensating euphonium? Or could you get by with a non-compensating four-valve euphonium? Because how often are you going to really be using that? What type of literature are you going to be playing in? So it's important to look at the usage and the budget and your own preference. You can usually look at opinions. It's sort of like deciding between cars. Do you want a BMW? Do you want a Lincoln? Do you want a Cadillac? Or would you be happy with a Ford? Or a Chevy, and they all will get you where you want to go, because there's a lot of fine instruments available now. But I think that's it's an important factor that you look at. What is your desired result? I usually choose an instrument on the basis of the sound. That's usually my criteria. I find the instrument that gives me the sound in the easiest way, the sound that I want to produce. And other issues you look at, how hard is it to play in tune? How hard is it to play comfortably? A lot of people choose an instrument that they really are not ready for, and they struggle, I'll grow into it, It'd be better to learn to play maybe on a smaller instrument and become a good player, and then go to a more professional instrument when you're a little better off, rather than starting with something that's too big.
I think we're quite lucky in this day and age that the majority of the professional model euphoniums, they're all good. They're all good. It's the player behind them that really makes them tick. I like Dr. Bowman, I think sound is one of the most, it is the most important aspect, but you also need to think about things like the technology on the instrument. When I say that, I mean like the pistons, that kind of, you don't want to be in a situation where you're on stage and your valve's sticking or your trigger's not working or bits are falling off. So you've got to look for the craftsmanship, for the sound. And with my students, I always tell them to, if they can, when they go into the store to try the instruments, take someone with them, because in someone that knows what they're doing, because a lot of the time you'll play an instrument and it'll feel so easy, and it's not necessarily the instruments that feel the easiest to play that sound the best. There's often a compromise there, but we are lucky, whether you're looking at Wilson's, Stirlings, Bessons, whatever, the top range euphoniums, they're usually you won't go far wrong with them. So we're pretty and Yamaha. We're pretty lucky.
Let's not forget. And Stirling.
And if you're buying for a school, sometimes, right now there's in a music store, there's a beautiful old Imperial sitting there that's been modified with a bass trombone or with a the bass trombone chain, with a large chain, that plays actually better than a used Sovereign next to it. So you just never know what's out there. Also, it strikes me, if it's going to sit in the back of the band room, and God knows I've seen some tubas in the back of the band room, sort of, think durability.
Yes. I think Marcus also hit a little bit on that about the quality of craftsmanship and how imperative it is to for research and design to have quality craftsmanship. And that in the long run, that certainly, especially since everyone here is certainly playing instruments for a long period of time, that, you know, make sure it's going to be durable, it's going to last, and that it's well made, certainly highly important.
I agree also with the comment that sound is very important. Another thought too, but when you're judging sound, if you've got a serious player, I mean, somebody's going to go on, you know, to do some things with it. Major on them in college, maybe, or at least make it a serious minor, you know, somebody really cares about the instrument. Sound becomes extremely important. I would not necessarily settle for a tryout in a practice room, but try to get into a room at least this size. That's the bad news, because it's kind of hard to do when you're trying horns. I have found generally, whether trying horns or mouthpieces, that in a small room, a horn with a smaller sound or a smaller mouthpiece will sound better. If I switch to a larger mouthpiece, oh, it sounds fuzzy and airy and, you know, in the practice room. Get on into a hall and you start to see, oh, well, yeah, but the sound goes all around the room now better. And things like that can make a difference. So try to get into a reasonably sized room. And then the idea of having somebody else go with you to listen from, you know, away, not just next to the bell, which can be very deceiving what it sounds like there. The fit of the instrument, if the person is mature enough to have achieved their rough body size, you know, height anyway, size can change in different ways later, but the way the horn fits you, the horn I just got was changed quite a bit from the older Sterlings in the way the lead pipe comes across. It's now much more comfortable for me to hold it, because I got a very long torso. For my height, my legs aren't very long. So I don't have to pad it nearly as much under the bottom bow for it to be at a comfortable playing height. Where if you were very short, that could be a problem. So again, how does the horn fit you when you sit, when you stand? Is it fairly comfortable to hold? Somebody kind of alluded to that earlier. And the other thing is, if it's somebody who just wants to, yeah, maybe have a music minor in college and go off and keep it as kind of a hobby thing and doing something else, a cheaper horn might just be very fine. I would not be at all offended if I had, I've seen a couple out here today, the Yamaha 321s, for example, the four-valve non-compensating Yamaha. It's a nice horn, sounds pretty, plays nicely. I like a compensating horn, I like the bigger sound, but you don't necessarily, depending on what you're doing, you could save a lot of money, possibly. And the last piece of advice is, again alluded to, don't buy something from eBay if you haven't heard of the brand, or probably from anywhere else.
Made in India.
Yeah. I have heard from so many sources, I mean, it's irrefutable evidence in my mind at this point, that some of these brands of instruments really are just not repairable. You take it into a repair shop, they may refuse to work on it, or if they are foolish enough to try to work on it, they may take a soldering torch to it or something and find the thing falling apart and their hands are melting, as opposed to just unsoldering a joint like they try to do. So make sure it's a reputable brand. I'm sure you're wise enough at this point to look for that, but I just thought I'd mention it because there's a, wow, $250 for a new oval, we just saw an oval euphonium. You get a brand new oval silver euphonium with case, $250. How can you go wrong? Well, you can't.
For mine. Okay. I also want to make everyone aware, as far as that many of the large retailers will provide an instrument on loan for a 2-week period, trial period, that you can take and play on. And the only thing in the end that you're out is if you decide to return it, is the shipping cost involved. But when you're talking about a $4,000 to $5,000 instrument, and you know, $125 in shipping, you know, round trip if you don't like it, it's not a tremendous expenditure for making sure that it's an instrument that you like. Obviously, one of the great things about IEI is that, you know, there's a lot of people with a lot of different instruments and different mouthpieces and stuff like that, so there's an opportunity to make a friend and sort of ask, hey, can I try out your horn? What do you think about it? Different things like that. So. That's a nice thing. So, any final questions?